Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Everybody here a believer?
Yes, sir.
So am I. So if you're a believer, I've got a question for you. You believe in heaven?
Amen.
Yep.
You believe in hell?
Amen.
So you believe there's a God?
Amen.
And you believe there's a devil?
Yes, sir.
Interesting. Do you know who the devil is? He's a spirit. Everybody get that?
Yep.
So if we believe in God, we have God's spirit in us. Well, the reason I start off my testimony this way is because what I'm about to share with you may or may not blow your mind. See, because there was a time where I was trying to end my life. And I was doing mounds of powder. I was even smoking it too. And I went into the bathroom. And I looked in the mirror. And I actually saw something else staring back. Obviously, I was not a believer at that time. Has anybody else had that experience where you literally look in the mirror and you're like, because it's not you looking back, scared the poop out of me. So, hey, my name is Greg Andrews. And I'm going to start reading you some scriptures, start telling you a little bit about who I am and what I've been through. So 1 Peter 3:15 talks about in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The reason I'm reading that to you is because there's going to come a time when somebody says, hey, what's your story? And you're going to need to be able to give them what that story is, whether you have scripture to back it up or not. You're going to want to be able to tell them and provide them hope, because it's hope that we all have, because without it, we have nothing. Christ Jesus is hope. Do we all agree?
Amen.
So my name is Greg. I am a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. I am a survivor of childhood molestation. I'm a former combat military individual, Navy, Gulf War, Iraq. So I suffered a little bit with PTSD. Struggled with anger. I'm a survivor of that. Codependent relationships. Pride. And because of being sexually molested, I struggled big time with sexual sin. And attempted suicide. The year is 2011. I completely lost sight of who I was. And my marriage, my children, I was losing my literal mind. And it's important to express that God allowed my past to creep back up in me. You see, I've been saved a little while now. In fact, I probably got saved back in 2003. In 2011, that many years later, God is bringing my past back up. And I'm like, great. Not only am I just losing everything, but now you want to bring this up in me too? Anger. Yeah, I was dealing with it. So Luke 11:24-26 reads, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and take to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than when he was first demonically possessed. The reason I read that is because I was demonically possessed, not oppressed, possessed, which means I literally invited these demons to be a part of my life. The first one is called the sickness. My first demon, since I was age 4, entered into my life disguised as my comforter and my justifier, meaning it helped justify my wrong thinking and made it right. Its sole purpose was to corrupt and devastate lives I would come into contact with and make me feel like I was doing them a favor. It possessed the powers of persuasion and seduction. I could call on it to aid me in my pursuit of pleasure and lust. I was 4 years old. What does a 4-year-old know about lust, pleasure? Well, let me tell you. Age of 4, being molested, that demon made itself very known to me. And I actually welcomed these things. So you can imagine, I was a very confused and twisted kid. The next demon was the darkness. My second demon to enter my life was my protector and enforcer. It aided me in fights and influencing fear upon others. It was a murderous spirit with no fear. The next demon. So, obviously my name is Greg, right? Well, this next demon was called the Lover G. My third demon was a gigolo. It was self-confident and downright arrogant. It was conceited, and it made me feel like I was God's gift. The Lover G was also very sensitive to the needs of women while listening and pretending to care. You might see how the sickness and the Lover G became friends. That's bad when you got demons that are friends, right? But think about it. You got a demon that's been cast out of you, and then you allow that demon to come back, and then you and it brings seven more. Do you follow where I'm going with this? The next one was Big Money G. This was the fourth demon to come on the scene. This happened when I was 19 years old. It would return immediately after my honorable discharge from the military. Also, it was a cocky, arrogant, gangster, drug-dealing businessman that loved to party. In fact, many times, it was the life of the party. Now, this next demon, you have to understand, when you got this much going on inside you, you may or may not like who you are. So this one is the Puerto Rican. Also, although I am not of this heritage, okay? While living in California, somewhere along the way, this demon appeared. I hated me and wanted nothing further to do with who I was at that time. What was ironic about this one, I was not fluent in speaking or understanding Spanish before it came on the scene. That's scary. It allowed me to actually understand Spanish. Because in California, I looked Puerto Rican. And I had a lot of people coming to me, talking to me. And I actually began to understand it. I was even able to understand a language called Tagalog. Anybody familiar with that? See, me being in the military, I traveled the world. Ended up in the Philippines, met a young lady, had a baby. But I actually began to understand who she was and was talking about. Because there was definitely a language barrier at first. So, yes, I have a daughter now from the Philippines. And I brought her here to America. Tried to do the right thing, you know, found out I'm a dad. Five other kids later. So you can see the lover G and the sickness got along with the Puerto Rican real well. I mentioned earlier about the year 2011, where I started losing sight of who I was and slowly losing everything. My marriage, my children, my job, my mind. Please note, the demons mentioned are part of my past. 2011, I was saved. I would not become possessed by these spirits again, but I would be oppressed, which means they were lingering. They wanted back in, and they wanted back in bad because they saw that I was in a position to where I could have said, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm done with this, and I could have turned my back on God. They were just lingering, waiting. So, Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I gotta find my page. It appears that it didn't print. Okay. So, August 22nd, 2012, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to get in touch with a friend. Because I knew I needed a support group. I know I needed help. Because when you have everything going out of control in your life, it's helpful to know that you have someone that you can reach out to, and they can sometimes maybe even agree with you on some things. Everybody knows what that's like, right? Like, yeah, you know, I'm going through this, and I need you to agree with me that because I know you're going through it too, right? Yeah, that's not always the best plan. But in this case, it was. Because I was able to check out a place called Celebrate Recovery. Everybody familiar with that? I was involved with Celebrate Recovery for, oh my goodness, 5 years. And, you know, I'd go check it out and say, you know, I know some other people that could probably use this worse than me. Because, you know, even though I'm losing my mind and losing my family, lost my job, you know, maybe I didn't want to recognize how bad of a situation I was really in. So I checked out CR to see if it would be beneficial for my other friends. And as I evaluated, God said, my life and my issues are not mine to bear. And I broke down and I started crying because I started to realize just how damaged my life was and how much I was struggling in my walk with the Lord. The Holy Spirit would reveal different things within my flawed character, and denial would be a very strong obstacle to get through, especially someone dealing with pride issues. I would have to admit, I needed help. How many of you have ever had to admit that you need help? I would imagine that's everyone, because that's because everybody that's here, we're here for help, right? Well, I had to admit it, and I knew I needed help because my anger and pride, my marriage and my children had become collateral damage. It would take 5 years of attending Celebrate Recovery. And during that time, I've learned what triggers and how to deal with them in a godly manner. I've learned about the step study and how and going through all the steps necessary to be a successful, God-fearing, God-loving man. God would also reveal the strongholds of sinful nature that was identified in my life and how to get rid of it. Because this thing about doing something that you know is wrong and asking God to forgive you and then doing it again and asking God to forgive you, a lot of people think that's grace. Grace technically is what is to teach you how not to sin. The word even says that if you are doing this, it's willful sinning, knowing that you are doing something wrong, and then doing it again and doing it again, asking God to forgive you. That is not the right thing to do. When God shows you in your life what you are doing, it's we have to allow him to help us correct that behavior. Because our God loves us so much, and he only wants the best for us. How do I know that sinning, willful sinning, is wrong? I'm going to prove it to you in the Word of God. You see, because I found it in Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. Do you hear me? God is warning you in love, that if you're doing something wrong, get it corrected. Okay, I'm going to get off that soapbox. You must know that when a commitment like this is made, you have to be 100%. So giving your life to the Lord, that's a commitment. And when you do it, it's got to be genuine. It's got to be real. Because when it is, that's when he can truly change your life. My life has been totally transformed since Celebrate Recovery. How has my life been transformed? I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, and I am forgiven. Because I have been forgiven, I no longer hate or feel like I must punish myself. I have learned not only to forgive others for what they have did to me, but I have been able to forgive myself and make amends when possible for what I've done to others. And something that I have found extremely helpful is finding someone that I can talk to. Not necessarily someone that's on my level or someone that has been through everything I have been through. That's not always the case. But you definitely need to find somebody that is a believer, strong in the word, and can be an accountability partner. I've got to mention this too. That accountability partner cannot be of the opposite sex.
Come on.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you are single, that invites a whole nother level of temptation. And if you're married, definitely don't want the opposite sex, okay? Because if you are married, your accountability partner cannot be your spouse. It needs to be someone of the same gender. Are we clear on that? Do I have anybody that wants to contest that? Good. Now, why do I talk about accountability? Because James 5:16 talks about this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Oh my goodness. Did you catch that? Having an accountability partner and confessing your faults to each other can help you heal. I don't have the answer for that one. I chalk that one up as one of the miraculous things that God does in our lives. And I'll continue with this. In fact, I'll read it again. Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that ye may be healed, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So my journey with Celebrate Recovery was 5 years. And when God released me, it was with several conditions. And the reason I say that God released me, here's the hope that I want to present to you. The situation that you are in right now doesn't have to be forever. One thing I want to encourage you on is this. I said I'm a survivor of a lot of stuff. Drug addiction, a drug dealer that became drug addicted, sexual sin, pride, anger. You know, I'm a survivor of it, right? But I've also gone to the meetings where they said, my name is Greg. Hi, Greg. And I'm struggling with. And you rattle it off. Okay, you might be struggling with it. But there comes a time when you get through it and you're no longer struggling. When you are through with it, it shouldn't come out your mouth anymore. You're done. You're done with it. That's hope. The things that bind us don't have to bind us forever. That's why Christ came, to deliver us. There is hope. So I said that there were conditions when I was released. Condition number one has to do with 2 Timothy 2:15. I had to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in order to study, truly study the word of God, I knew I needed help. Here we go again, needed some help. Condition number one is I needed to go to school. College. Oh, man, college. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't do too well in high school. I was not the most intelligent person. In fact, I skated through. I don't even know how I got through. But I actually ended up in college. And within both those confirmations of needing to go to college and knowing that I needed help, I signed up for the Kingdom of Heaven University Bible College, which is here in Fort Wayne, and did an interview, because, yeah, I had to interview to get into this school. Went in on a Friday, and they said, well, you passed the interview. I think you're a great candidate. You start Monday. Wow. So I did. I started Monday and graduated. And graduated again. And graduated again. So, in other words, somebody who didn't do well at all in school ended up with their bachelor's, their master's, and their doctorate of divinity. Condition number two is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. So condition number two meant that I had to study, not only study the word, but I had to apply it. I needed to make it who I am, not just about reading it and making, you know, trying to do my best. No, it's who I am now. I know you guys are thinking, man, the word of God, come on. You mean I got to read? Yeah, you got to read. You got to read. In fact, I will recommend, because hearing cometh by the word of God, right? Have you ever heard that? So if you hear it, it sinks in a little bit better, right? So not just hearing the pastor speak on it, but when you read the word of God, I'm going to recommend that you read it out loud. Because as you're reading it, you're absorbing it, but you're hearing it too. Little nugget, just kind of throwing it out there, seeing how many times I can skip it across the water. Condition number three, you got to keep his commandments. 10 as they may be, there's actually a whole lot more. But let's just start off with the basics and go with the 10. Keep God's commandments. So for the sake of time, I want you to also know this. Acknowledge God in everything you do and everything you speak. Simply ask God what your day is supposed to be like. First of all, acknowledge him and thank him and praise him, because you have breath. You have another day to do his will and not your own. I mean, that's what this is all about, right? Because if we try to do it on our own, we get ourselves into a world of mess. God's word is guidance and direction. And if we simply apply it and not make it so complicated, he'll bring us through. Psalm 37:23 is one of the things that tells me he will. You see, because it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So if my steps are ordered by God, I'm going to delight in everything I do, because I know that my Lord is the one looking out for me. Because I'm here to tell you, I tried it my way, and my way had me face down, gasping for air, because my heart was like trying to explode out of my chest. literally. That was my suicide attempt. I purposely tried to OD on coke and crack. So the hope that I want to give you, be transparent. Be vulnerable to God. He'll give you the strength to stand strong and confident. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Them meaning those who may be out there judging you and talking bad about you because, oh, they're a believer now. They think they're better than I am. Don't fear them. Love them. And bring them in. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Thank you for allowing me this time. Appreciate you guys allowing me to share this testimony.